Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
This is James Bell, your host of the Boxing Source Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio by the MRN Broadcasting Channel, which was brought to you by Matthew Long and Carcel Mathis. You can catch our sister shows here on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, hosted by the Executioner Matthew Long. And on Wednesdays at 8:30, we have the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show with Dally Mike, Chi-Town, Clausel Mathis, Mouth of the South, Tony Watley, and sometimes you'll get input from me as well on there. The number to dial in to talk live here is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key to get on the live queue and you'll be able to talk on the show. We delayed it here for one day, and we have a lot to cover over the week. We had actually two broadcasts of Premier Boxing Champions, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. So we'll be going over those, and we also have a lot of news that has come to us over the past few days in reference to fights that are coming up in the near future, so we will be covering all of that here, as we have a few big upcoming events that we have announced over the past few weeks, so we're getting a little bit more details on that, and we'll have some additional news and notes that'll surround those events as well, so we'll be covering that. So first off, we will be going into the Premier Boxing Champions card that happened on Saturday, August 1st, at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. It featured two fighters, you know, from the city of Brooklyn in two different fights. The first fight was for the WBA middleweight championship between Daniel Jacobs and Sergio Mora. Of course, Sergio Mora is of note through the contender fame that had the tournament there, and he also had a few notable wins in the past. One was against Vernon the Viper Forrest back in the day. So he was in there, going in there against the Brooklyn guy, Daniel Jacobs, who is the WBA middleweight champion that came in there and challenged Mora, and he had a, you know, hometown crowd there with him. So he was able to go in there to see if he could defend the title against Mora. And I tell you, it was, as y'all saw, it was a fairly short fight, but it was a really eventful fight. You had Mora starting off early, getting off early with the jabs, leading off with the jabs, and, you know, coming up with a couple of good hooks to the head into the body. And it seemed like he was having the upper hand for most of the first round. And then midway through it, all of a sudden, he basically got caught with a good right-hand counter. And that right-hand counter landed flush on his head, and he was sent back to the canvas. So he was able to be put on the canvas. He, you know, basically took an eight count. He was able to get up, and then after that, it seemed like Daniel Jacobs was trying to finish the show because he had all the momentum there, scoring that first knockdown. And looked like he got a little too overconfident and wasn't as focused as he should have been. And he ended up getting caught with a counter himself. And that counter came when he was able to back Sergio Mora to the ropes. And that counter came to Daniel Jacobs. And that basically sent Daniel Jacobs to the canvas. So you had two knockdowns scored in the first round. So you basically had Jacobs and Mora going tasting the canvas in the first round. And that pretty much caught the interest of many fight fans within the Barclays Center and also those that watch Sean, Premier Boxing Champions, on ESPN. And so the second round basically was going in there as kind of a toss-up, but it looked like Daniel Jacobs was getting more into the groove of things and was getting the upper hand. And instead of letting Sergio Mora get off with his punches, he was getting off with his and was backing Sergio Mora up. And it seemed like he was able to get Mora to the ropes in the second round and bully him. And then all of a sudden, he backed him up and caught him with a good set of punches and knocked down Sergio Mora. But it looked like something else was up with them because when the referee was counting, it seemed like Sergio Mora couldn't get up. It didn't look like it was a body shot, so looked like his leg buckled. And that's apparently what it was. His knee buckled, and he twisted his ankle. So that ended up stopping the fight there within the second round. So Sergio Mora ended up losing the fight, and Daniel Jacobs was able to retain his WBA middleweight championship with a second-round TKO victory over Sergio Mora. Looked like it was going to be a pretty good back-and-forth fight. Apparently, with the injury that Mora suffered, he was unable to continue. And he said, once he was able to get on to the stool, that he sprained his ankle. So after the fight, he had to be carried on the stretcher. And it seemed like there, his ankle was injured. So we'll be getting more reports in reference to that to see what specifically was injured in that second round of that fight. With the win by Daniel Jacobs, people were asking him what's in his immediate future. And, one of the things was that with him being a Brooklyn fighter and having a middleweight championship, it was hinted at that he may want to see if he could fight another Brooklynite that had a middleweight championship himself at one point, and that was Kid Chocolate Peter Krillin. And Karen was, at ringside during this card that they had there at the Barclays Center, and Daniel Jacobs said that he initially doesn't have much problems to, fighting Peter Krillin either in Brooklyn or somewhere else. Hopefully it is in Brooklyn. And Krillin said that he had no issues either in making that happen. So hopefully, in the future, they'll be able to see if they could make that fight possible there, as that would be a good back-and-forth fight between those two that could be at the Barclays Center. At this point, Peter Krillin is coming off that draw against Andy Lee, That would have been for, you know, a middleweight championship, but Killian came in there overweight, so he wasn't able to have that title on the line. And now he's slated for a on September 6th. So if he's able to get through that fight, then maybe sometime later on he will be challenging for a middleweight championship, as Andy Lee will be going up against Billy Joe Saunders on September 12th. I mean, not September 12th, but September 19th in Ireland for that WBO middleweight championship. And as we all know, Gennady Golovkin will be facing David Lemieux for the middleweight championships that both of them have. So it'll be a pretty eventful last few months in reference to the middleweight division, as, like I said, you have Andy Lee facing Billy Joe Saunders, you have David Lemieux facing Gennady Golovkin, and you have Miguel Cotto defending the WBC middleweight championship against Saul Canelo Alvarez. So I guess it'll be over the next 4 or 6 months, you'll be seeing a lot of movements going on within the middleweight division. Now, moving quickly on to the main event that was at the Barclays Center, was the debut of Danny Swift Garcia at 147, going up against Paulie Malignaggi, who is the other Brooklyn fighter that was fighting here in the Barclays. And in this fight, well, to me, there isn't really much to say about that fight. It was pretty much a gauge as to, you know, what Danny Garcia could do in the welterweight division. And, you know, was, you know, against a guy in Pitt, Paulie Malignaggi, who, you know, didn't have any fights for over a year. His last fight was in Washington, D.C. against Sean Porter, where he was basically, you know, bum rushed and was by TKO to Sean Porter. So it was almost a, you know, 16-month layoff between that fight and this fight against against Danny Garcia. So a lot of fight fans didn't really expect that much from Paulie Malignaggi. He was able to see what he could do, you know, working the jab and so on and so forth, but there was nothing that, you know, could keep him at bay. So, yeah, it was nothing that could keep Danny Garcia at bay, and Danny Garcia was able to, you know, be comfortable within his weight against Paulie Malignaggi and eventually score a TKO victory over him in the ninth round. For me, I thought that it would be something to see if Danny Garcia would look a lot better, move around a little bit, be comfortable within that weight, and kind of show a little bit of movement, show, you know, good footwork, good hand speed. But the overall gist of it is that I really wasn't that impressed about Danny Garcia there against Paulie Malignaggi. And, well, it'll be a matter of time before we see what Danny Garcia can do now, since he is registered as a welterweight contender now. So he'll be there, you know, with the likes of Keith Thurman or Amir Khan or Sean Porter or Kell Brook, who are amongst the top four or five within the welterweight division. So what we're basically trying to see is if Danny Garcia is the real deal. As I've asked months ago on the CHT on Sports website, if Danny Garcia was the real deal, as you know, he's had a couple of fights where it's been questionable if he's been able to score wins against Mauricio Herrera and Lamont Peterson. So right now, with him being at welterweight, he'll be seeing if he'll be going up against the likes of the people that I mentioned, or if he's going to be continuously brought up the ranks, so to speak, against, you know, guys likes of Aaron Martinez or Robert Guerrero or Luis Collazo or something like that. So that's basically the overall summary of the Premier Boxing Champions card that they had on Saturday. And what I'm going to do here is go into a quick break, and then we're going to quickly review the Premier Boxing Champions main event card that was on last night. So bear with me here as we go into a commercial, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The Cohort Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cohort Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch other callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look it up. You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcasting Network. Better than diamond ring. That's why we're
here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
All right, we're back live here on the Boxing Source Radio Show. The number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Right now we have two people live on here. We got 216-854 and 336-327. Now, first of all, 216, tell us the name of where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. That's what's going on. And we have 336, man. What's going on with you?
What's up, J.V. Craig, North Carolina?
Doing good, man, doing good. Yeah, you know, I was just starting off here with the, you know, quick review of the Premier Boxing Champions card that was on Saturday night at the Barclays Center, where you had Daniel Jacobs going up against Sergio Moore, and Danny Garcia going up against Pauly Malignaggi. You know, one fight, you know, had a lot of action in it for, you know, under two rounds, and one fight didn't have that much action for nine rounds. So that's basically what we had there. Did you catch any of that there, Greg?
Yeah. I caught it. I caught both of them. First fight, it was interesting. I like Jacobs. He caught him, and Sergio answered right back. It was interesting. I hate that the injury happened. I thought it was going to be a good fight. You know, one thing about Sergio, he does come to fight. And then in the second fight, I mean, in my opinion, I really wasn't impressed with Danny, and I wasn't really impressed with Pauly. I mean, that's what everybody expected. I mean, I really don't, you know, everybody expected Danny to do what he done, you know, but I didn't really think he was that impressive in what he was doing because he still was getting hit. It was just like the bigger guy stomping down the little guy, and everybody know Pauly doesn't have any power. You know, Pauly can't keep anybody off, even though he was hitting them with shots. He was touching them. So for everybody who thinks that that was a test to welcome him to welterweight, I disagree. I mean, Pauly ain't never been known to really bust a great. You know, all his best attribute is his jab, you know. But, I mean, I really wasn't impressed with Danny, to tell you the truth, or Pauly. I mean, that's what I expect. He got to fight somebody for me to give him some credit, especially when you look at all of the guys out there for him to fight. I mean, he could have picked he could have picked anybody besides Pauly, unless he just wanted an easy victory in his introduction to welterweight, you know, because that's what he got. I mean, to me, that was nothing for him to be excited about.
Yeah, hold on just a minute. I mean, we had 206 back on, but it looks like we had a lot of static there. So, put him back on hold. Put you back on hold for about a minute there, and then get you back on there, 216. But overall, in reference to the Garcia fight, if there's anybody that you could start at 147 with, it's Pauly Malignaggi, because, I mean, Pauly can only do so much. And like you said, Danny Garcia was getting hit, but it was nothing significant, nothing that would, you know, have him be rocked or taken back or anything like that. So it's not like he's facing, you know, somebody like a Robert Guerrero or, you know, somebody, or even like a Luis Collazo at welterweight to probably get, you know, something where he would get, where Danny Garcia would get hit and it would actually hurt him. So Pauly Malignaggi doesn't have that type of thing where he would hit somebody and it would actually hurt, you know, somebody like a Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia was there at 146.5 pounds, and it actually looked like 146 pounds on Danny Garcia. You know what I mean? So that thing there, nobody really gave Pauly a chance in that fight anyway. And, you know, it was just a nine-round, for some, it probably was like a nine-round snooze fest. You know, so.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Let me check here with 216. 216, you back on.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Doing all right there.
What's up? This is Eddie Big Man. You know, I post a lot on the board. But anyway, to make a long story short, I was, you know, Danny Garcia, I kind of agree with y'all with that. Pauly can only do so much. I think, I think he's shot worn, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, it was, mediocre in terms of his welcoming to 147. Because like I said, Pauly does not have much power, as y'all say. And, you know, he can only do so much. He got a jab, but he's also shot worn. So he did touch up Danny, but it was nothing significant. And Danny did, you know, what he's supposed to do. You know, that's his introductory, then fine. You know, I think a Luis Collazo, you know, or somebody like that would be a good fight for his next fight. Danny Jacobs, I was impressed with him. I wasn't the person to knock down, I don't think, you know, but he did get caught cleanly on the chin, you know, but he did get back up and scored a knockout victory. That was a good body shot. It was not that dude just broke his ankle. It was a body shot, and then he fell down and broke his ankle. You understand? It's two different things. You know
right, yeah, yeah.
And, but don't put that Danny Jacobs in Triple G right now. You know what I'm saying? He still needs a couple more fights before another fight. Yeah. So I'm not even gonna do him like that, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was and all in all, it was a good victory. Now I'm hearing Deontay Wilder fighting Huey Fury, who's a cousin of Tyson Fury.
Right.
I just hope it's not. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? You know. You know, and Deontay, my boy, I like him. But come on, you know, you can step up and listen to better than that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know.
The initial thing was that Deontay Wilder was going to end up facing. He was going to end up facing who had the earlier fight that could have. He already had a title fight or a title shot earlier. We were talking about Deontay Wilder fighting Chris Ariola. And most people were like, nah, man, that can't happen. So now if they even try to put up Huey Fury against Deontay Wilder, that would be even worse. Exactly.
Because I really do think Deontay tried to carry Molina in his last fight, but it went wrong. It didn't go as smoothly as he thought it was. I thought he tried to carry him a few rounds because everybody was expecting the first. And like I said, I'm not saying it kind of, you know, it was a little smoke. It ain't backfired, but it was a little smoke out there. You know what I'm saying? And, it didn't go as smoothly as he went. And I think he will take care of business. If he fights Huey Fury, he will take care of business in the first and second round. You know what I'm saying? Because the reason why Fury is getting a little pressed is his. They said, okay, he's only 20 years old, a couple of months older than Mike Tyson was after, you know, this is what the guys over there in Britain saying, you know, so it's all got to do with something. And then he's the cousin of Tyson Fury. That's another thing. He's getting a title shot at Vladimir, so everything is connected on that ground. Because they gave he said Shannon Briggs offered him $5 million to fight him. Now, the thing about that is, I like Shannon Briggs, you know, was a great fighter. Like I said, past tense, was, you know what I'm saying? I think, don't get me wrong. He can hurt him. Now, don't get me wrong. He can't hurt him. He got power. He got massive power. But at this stage of his career, Shannon Briggs is like, what, 43, 44, you understand what I'm saying? If he don't get him, you know, it's going to be a bomb burner for the first two or three rounds, but after that, it's Deontay all the way. Just like I said, that fight was only a step up more than this rumored fight with Fury is anyway. So,
The thing is,
go ahead.
The thing is, but if Wilder for Briggs, I mean, at least it would be an eventful four or five rounds that you would have on, Premier Boxing Champions. And the thing is, this is supposed to be the feature fight on September 26th for Deontay Wilder. And after, the debut of Premier Boxing Champions in March, all you've been seeing is, Deontay Wilder putting himself out there talking about he's the heavyweight champion of the world. So we are waiting on him to actually put himself there as, someone who's fighting on Premier Boxing Champions. So this will be that date. So it's now the question of who will he fight?
Right. Yeah. And now my last question, and it's going on Floyd versus Berto, Andre Berto. I want your thoughts on that. But in defense of that fight, like I said, Floyd has fought everybody, all that he's supposed to fight. He fought all the big names. Floyd is almost 39 years old. He's on his way out, like I said. Name me one, and I've posted this on Eastside about all the boxing board. Name me one all-time great fighter that has not fought a so-called tune-up or just a regular contender. They couldn't name one because after Ali fought Foreman back in 74, he followed that up with Chuck Wepner, who lost 12 times. And like I said, and that was inspired the Rocky movies and all that. And Ali's the greatest, by far the greatest. But I'm just saying, look at Sugar Ray Robinson. Look at Sugar Ray Leonard. After he fought Tommy Hearns, he fought Larry Bonds and somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Guys you really never heard of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just I'm like this here. And I tell people, maybe one all-time great fighter who hasn't fought, Berto-type fighters. They couldn't do it. And I said, I know you can't do it. So, you know, so this, you know, this killed that noise on that front, because I said Roberto is a former two-time world champion. He supposed to got, Ben got the fight with Floyd if he had to beat Ortiz or Guerrero, but he lost those, and he won his last three fights, and I'm like two or three fights, and like I said, and then this closes the gap on Floyd and, you know, fighting the brothers, this, that, you know, and all that. You know, this closes. I'm not saying Berto is this, but, you know, he is ranked number one by the WBA, so he does got credibility.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and So like I said, and I said, take a look at Triple G fighters. Look at the, you know, when I say that, they get pissed. They think I'm hating on TV. I'm not saying on him. I said, but he has not fought one elite fighter.
The resume speaks for itself on that one. It speaks for itself on that one. And like you said, Berto was basically waiting for a shot. You know, he lost to Ortiz, and, you know, Floyd Mayweather was there ringside for that Ortiz-Berto fight.
Exactly.
And so with Ortiz winning that, you know, Ortiz was able to go against Floyd Mayweather, and then later on, you know, Berto went against Guerrero, lost to Guerrero, and you know, Floyd gave Guerrero that fight. So now Berto is the WBA interim welterweight champion. So, he's going to be able to face Floyd Mayweather there at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, and that's the last fight that Floyd has on the contract with MGM Grand.
Right.
And and the thing was, I mean, the main fight they wanted to bring there was against Manny Pacquiao, and they made that happen. So that's done and over with. So as far as Floyd is concerned, he doesn't have to do anything else as far as, you know, coming up with, you know, something for MGM Grand, because everybody was there at Las Vegas for that particular fight. So that fight's done, over with, finished. There's nobody else that he can fight in order to bring that type of buzz, you know.
So all
he has to do is just do this fight and see if he could stack that undercard, right? In reference to, like, the formal announcement, you know, I've heard news that the actual press release for it is going to be coming up on Thursday. So the official announcement may come up on Thursday. And there's also, you know, there's one fight that's already been announced, you know, during that card. It's a title fight here, and I thought I had it here somewhere. I'll put it up here in a little bit. Because there's one that's not official, but is probably going to be signed, and that's Cornelius Bundridge against Charlo. Bundridge is basically, you know, hinted that he's fighting on September 12th, so that's probably going to be an extra fight. And the other fight is Matthew Jack versus Jordan Rose for the WBC Super Middleweight Championship. So that one is going to be at the MGM Grand as part of the undercard for Floyd Mayweather's fight. So you will have at least two fights there on the undercard that, you know, people will know about.
Right. And I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, of course, and like I told people, of course, because y'all complaining when this fight, when this room to be freed. I said, listen, of course, it's not a $99 fight, you know, but I said $50. Like I said, I lived in Vegas for years and everything. So I said, probably still won't be no seats, but I said, of course, I wouldn't mind chilling out, because I think one thing about Berto, he will bring it. You know what I'm saying? He will try. You know what I'm saying? So you will get that aspect from him. You know what I'm saying? It won't be none and void, but like I said, I expect the leg round knockout or easy around decision, Floyd. But like I said, Berto will try. He will bring it. And last but not least, on this Triple G crap, and I put a lot of people in check, even some of his biggest fans. I said, listen, the guy has not fought at 154 before. If he was to go down to 154 and fought for it, and Floyd breaks off him like he did Manny Pacquiao, I don't think y'all gonna say if he was weight drained. I said, so stop the madness, you know. And I said, stop the bullshit. I said, if he really wants to fight for it, fight Lara. Or fight, you know, Cornelius Bundage, or fight, you know what I'm saying, or somebody of that caliber, you know what I'm saying, fight a couple of fights,
I mean, here's the thing, like I said, K-9 is supposed to fight, you know, one of the Charlo brothers on September 12th, and Lara and Lara is supposed to be the WBA super welterweight champion, while, you know, Floyd Mayweather is the quote-unquote super champion for that division. So if Mayweather fought Lara, that would be a pretty good fight. I don't know who else would be interested in it, but my thing is like, it's a boxer versus a boxer. So if you're a boxing fan, you should really like to see that fight.
Yeah, I would love to see it. Personally, I would love to see it. And I forgot about my boy Demetrius Andre. You know what I'm saying? Andre, you know what I'm saying? I can't, you know, forget about him. I think he's a sleeper. And I told people like this. Now, Willie Monroe Jr. gave GG some problems in there. And I said, just advance that with Demetrius Andre, you know what I'm saying, who's a WBO champion at 154. You know what I'm saying? That's not no gimmick for him winning that fight at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of more deserving 154s out there to fight him. But, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
That's pretty
great. Yeah, you got long. You got a little bit to say on the September 12th thing that's where we'll have the formal announcement on Thursday, but
okay.
You know, we'll have a couple of other fights that are basically signed right now. So anything you want to say on that? Hey, where are y'all? No, you have something to say about the upcoming announcement for September 12th?
Well, I mean, I haven't heard any more than what you just said. You know, I mean, as far as who else was going to be on the card, I mean, so I'm waiting to make sure that everything is the buzz that everybody's saying is basically confirmed of what it is. So, I mean, I haven't heard anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going back and forth with K-9 on Twitter a little bit on, you know, him hinting at, fighting on September 12th. And so we knew that he was supposed to fight Charlo earlier this year, but due to him having to cut in sparring, that fight had to be postponed. So now they're trying to actually, you know, put that fight together and have that be part of the undercard for Floyd Mayweather's event there on September 12th. What I did run into earlier today is that Errol Spence will not be on the undercard for September 12th. Instead, he will be on a Spike TV card for September 11th. They don't know who it's up against yet, but the reports are that he will be fighting on September 11th instead of September 12th. I think the main event for it was supposed to be Adonis Stevenson fighting in that one in the main event for that particular card. It was supposed to be Adonis Stevenson against Carpensi for the main event for Stevenson's light heavyweight championship. So
okay,
I don't know why Stevenson is facing Carpensi though.
Yeah, I saw something earlier about Rona. About him possibly Broner fight in October on the same night as the Matisse fight.
Yeah, the Matisse fight.
The rumor is him and Provodnikov is going to go head to head with that card. I mean, so that's about all I heard as far as.
There's been a lot of buzz about that between Adrian Broner and Ruslan Provodnikov, but you know at first they had Provodnikov's camp was saying that there's no truth to that, so I'm not sure how far that one's going to go because while you know Adrian Broner said that he was going to be fighting in October 3rd, and he's, you know, basically said that for the past 2 weeks now. The thing is, on the other end, with the rumor to be against Provodnikov, There hasn't been, you know, providing cause camp hasn't, you know, put any truth to that. So it'll be a wait and see moment in reference to that, because that's the thing that we were talking about. And the manager of Ruslan Provodnikov was basically saying that it's possible that he may end up fighting Brandon Rios.
Right.
So we may see Provodnikov Rios instead of Broner versus Provodnikov. So it'll be something there to wait on, reference to Ruslan Provodnikov, because, like I said, he's a free agent now. He's not necessarily with Top Rank anymore.
Top Rank.
So, yeah, he's not with them anymore. So it's not like they'll match him up against, you know, guys like Brandon Rios or, you know, Tim Bradley again or anything like that, because it's not that easy now, because he's not in the contract with them. So that'll be fairly interesting what they do with Provodnikov there. There was one other news thing that was notable that I wanted to talk about before getting into Keith Thurman's comments. One of our past guests that we had a few weeks ago, Super Zab Judah, he has his own promotional company, Super Judah Promotions, but he also is working with Greg Cohen, who's also a promoter, and he says that he will be returning for a fight in September, and he'll be in the 140-pound division in his return instead of being at 147. So we will be looking for, you know, Zab Judah in the light welterweight division there in September. And he is also slated to be part of this event that's going to be happening in Las Vegas on September 12th. There's going to be a Box Fan Expo at the Las Vegas Convention Center from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They'll have a lot of boxers and other guys there that's going to be there during that day, which includes Judah. They said Sergio Martinez will be there, James Toney will be there, Fernando Vargas, Roberto Duran, Tim Bradley, Sean Porter, Joel Casamayor, Ernie Shavers might be there. But it's a pretty big event. They've had it, you know, there last year, and I think it had it the year before, too. So, you know, you can get info about that event at boxfanexpo.com. So we'll be able to see what's going on in reference to that event leading up to the card that they have there at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. So that's something else to be looking forward to there. See if I still have Eddie on the line here. Eddie, you there?
Who, me?
Yeah, I was seeing there was a lot of background at first. That's why I had it on mute for a little bit. But, you know, it was just going through a couple of things there, like with Zab Judah. I was going through a couple of things there, like one with Zab Judah coming back in September pretty soon, and also there'll be an event in Las Vegas that same day as the Floyd Mayweather fight, the Box Fan Expo, which will have like a lot of fighters coming through, a lot of promoters who will be showing up too there, and it's going to be at the Las Vegas Convention Center during the day of the Floyd Mayweather card.
Looking forward to it myself, you know.
Now, we're just going to go into just the next little topic here. You have the WBA World Welterweight Champion, Keith Thurman. And Keith Thurman was at the was at the fight with Garcia Malignaggi, and he was being interviewed by a few people. He was being interviewed by a few people, and a couple of things that was raised to him was, one thing was, is like, who is he slating, who is he going to be fighting pretty soon, as he wants to see if he can get one more fight in before the end of the year, and talk about, you know, him fighting Floyd Mayweather or, you know, him fighting Errol Spence. And once again, it seemed like he was on the defensive when people brought up the name Errol Spence Jr. And the thing that he said, as he said before, is who has Errol Spence beat or who has Errol Spence fought? And he's always been trying to come up with that little line instead of saying, hey, make it happen. My thing is with Errol Spence. Errol Spence is coming up in the ranks of welterweight. And I see him at amongst the top 10 in the WBA right now. Luis Collazo was the last guy that Keith Thurman fought. Currently, Luis Collazo is number 15 in the WBA. My question was, what ranking was Luis Collazo at in the WBA before he fought Keith Thurman? My presumption is that he was not in the top five in the WBA. I'm pretty sure of that. So for Keith Thurman to dismiss someone like Errol Spence and not want to fight Errol Spence, but turn around and fight Luis Collazo, to me says a lot about Keith Thurman. Greg, what do you say about that one?
My thing with Keith is this right here. Keith knows Earl is going to be a tough way to go. When you look at Earl's size, he's a big welterweight. He's a throwback welterweight. Earl is not new to these guys. These guys know Earl, fought with Earl. They know Earl is a hard way to go. They don't want to face Earl until they feel like they can get the more value for the fight. Right now, it ain't in Keith's best interest to get beat by somebody that most people don't even know. So therefore, that's why he's going to put it off as long as he can. But my thing with Keith is a lot of other fights out there for you to make before you fight Collazo. I mean, you could have fought, Amir Khan's been saying your name. Kell Brook fight was supposedly there for to happen, but it's like you're looking for an easy way out to where you can just pad your record to get wins, but then you want to call out Mayweather. Everybody wants the Mayweather sweepstakes, but nobody wants to fight to earn them, you know, because my thing is this right here. Hey, Berto is going, he's a live fighter. Berto, I don't care how you look at Andre. Andre comes to fight every time. Okay, why? I mean, even though they both from the same area, I mean, it's all about the value of the fight. I would give him more credit for fighting a live guy like that than Collazo. You know what I'm saying? You know, and then, you know, so my thing is, it's plenty of fights out there for anybody in 147. I mean, you don't have to take those type fights. If you really claim that you are everything that you say you are, I mean, it's some fights out there where people will give you your credentials, and then they will demand a Mayweather fight for you, not the way he's going. The way he's going, all it's going to be, if Mayweather do fight him after he beat him, they're going to be like, he wasn't ready anyway. You know, he can really, you know, legitimize his value by fighting and beating some worthy opponents.
Right, exactly. I mean, my thing is the John Zavicks and the Leonard Bundus and the other guys that he fought in order to, you know, get to the WBA welterweight championship, nobody has really heard of those guys before Keith Thurman fought them. And then after Keith Thurman fought them and beat them, those guys went back to their own country to fight. So it's like you're fighting guys that nobody in the mainstream boxing scene knows, and you're getting a world championship. And then those guys, you won't see those guys fighting anybody else of note. So you're not fighting a like you said, you're not fighting an American, you're not fighting a Devin Alexander, you're not fighting Chris Algieri even. You know, you're fighting guys like that, and Luis Palazzo and Robert Guerrero are the two notable guys that you fought. And Robert Guerrero took a step back, even though he had a decision win, he took a step back fighting Aaron Martinez, getting knocked down by Aaron Martinez. It is home state. So now your win against Robert Guerrero doesn't look all too good, and he faced Luis Palazzo, who wasn't within the top 30 or 35 at welterweight overall, and probably was in the outside of the top 10 within the WBA, you know? So you got to figure out how you can basically explain that fight to people. Yeah, you want to fight. Yeah, he wants to fight Floyd Mayweather.
And then he was quick to say Danny Garcia. Yeah, I'll fight Danny. Yeah, I'm sure you'll fight Danny, because you got to look at Danny is another one that's sort of carbon copy for him, and he's the bigger guy when it's compared to the two. You know, so,
right.
I mean, he got to fight some real live guys, man. That's all I say. I mean, I thought he was on his, you know, after he fought the Ghost, I mean, I said, oh, he's going to start fighting some hard-nosed competition. Okay, and then he has basically went the opposite direction. But if you look at Earl is trying to fight these guys. Earl wants to prove who he is. These guys don't want to fight him.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the thing is that all those guys don't want to fight him, and then the thing was is that he was, you know, primed and ready to fight on September 12th, but, you know, basically ended up on, you know, Sprite TV on September 11th on the undercard for Adonis Stevenson. So, you know, with that being known, it's not that he's going to be, you know, fighting anybody much of note within the division, if that's the case. So, I can't really, you know, put in any type of guess as to who Errol Spence will fight. You know, maybe it'll be like a Diego Chavez or something like that, maybe, but it's not going to be like somebody that people know right off the top. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that's the thing on Errol Spence and Keith Thurman. Like I said, if he doesn't want to fight Errol Spence, that's fine. I'm cool with that. But if you're not going to fight Errol Spence, then your next fight should be against Amir Khan or Tobruk or Sean Porter, because those three guys basically have more of a case to fight Floyd Mayweather than you have, especially Sean Porter right now, because Porter has faced, you know, Kell Brook, even though he lost, but he fought Kell Brook.
Then he fought Broner.
Then he fought Broner.
He's fighting real opposition.
He, like I said, he fought Paul Malignaggi, you know what I'm saying? And, hey, I mean, hey, since Marcos Maidana, you know, beat Adrian Broner and was able to fight Floyd Mayweather. So I guess, you know, maybe Sean Porter beat Adrian Broner and he's, you know, able to fight Floyd Mayweather. So who knows?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know. I'm just waiting to see. And then it was interesting, you guys, y'all was talking about the so-called heavyweight champ earlier, right? And he keeps finding ways to fight journeyman, but as soon as he's in front of the camera, he has so much to say about what he's wanting to do and this and that. Man, you won't even fight your mandatory. You keep running around your mandatory. I mean, and then y'all still was talking about fighting. The name is still coming up. The Mexican kid just got beat 2 weeks ago. Now, how is his name even coming up? Yeah, I mean, yeah, to the draw. Why
yeah,
is his
draw,
name
yeah.
even coming up? I mean, it's like I don't understand it, man. I mean, and I agree with you. I going to fight Briggs. You know he's going to be live, but you know why they won't fight Briggs? They know Briggs land a good shot on him, the fight is over. That's why they don't want to fight Briggs.
Yeah, that's the thing here, man, is that, yeah, Briggs still has a good punch on him. And, you know, if he catches Deontay Wilder clean, then that may be big trouble for Deontay Wilder, if that is the case. So that's why they're basically trying to see if they could get something there with Huey Fury, you know, a young 20-year-old guy. But, I mean, my thing is, if they put him up there against Huey Fury, that will not be much of an attractive card at all for Premier Boxing Champions there. Just seeing here, as far as, like, other news is going on, in the light heavyweight division, they've had an order by the IBF that they want an eliminator between Artur Beterbiev, you know, the young Russian there. They want Beterbiev to see if he's going to face Bernard Hopkins for the IBF thing. And it says that they have up to Thursday if they want to make that happen. Or if not, then it will basically be, you know, going down to the next guys in there. So Beterbiev versus Hopkins as an IBF eliminator is a possibility, but I don't think that will happen, because there is a chance that Beterbiev may end up facing Sergey Kovalev on November 28th in Russia, and if that's the case, then he would much rather take that fight with the quickness than to go up against Bernard Hopkins. So, yeah, and me personally, I would much rather see Beterbiev versus Kovalev than a Beterbiev Hopkins fight.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
You know, so that'll be something there. And the thing with Bernard Hopkins was, he was basically considering going back down to super middleweight, as he skipped super middleweight on the way to light heavyweight there. And the thing is that he wanted to see if he could get a world title at super middleweight, being 50 years old. And the thing is that, as far as we all know, the only one that he could basically challenge for is the one that Arthur Abraham has. Because every other title is held by a guy that's under Al Haymon. And, you know, he ain't going to fight no Al Haymon guy.
Right, yeah. I seen they said something about Arthur Abraham. But, and then I know he was saying Triple G. He was.
Yeah, that was
he
another
was
thing
by
that
Triple
was being
G.
talked about. Mm-hmm. That was being talked about as well. But that's like, you know, I don't think there was going to be, you know, any type of truth to that one. And so, you know, so that's what
you know, Tom Loeffler and K2 Promotions basically negotiated that fight between Golovkin and Lemieux, because that was, you know, basically the fight that was available for Golovkin, where he could, you know, fight with HBO and see if that could be a pay-per-view type of fight. Speaking of that fight between Golovkin and Lemieux, they made the announcement that the tickets for that will be going on sale on August 12th there for the fight that's going to be at Madison Square Garden. So for those that are, you know, in the New York area or around the area, y'all can basically check out Ticketmaster or Madison Square Garden on August 12th to get tickets for that type of fight. I think they had that fight, and who was it, Roman Gonzalez. I was supposed to be on the undercard for it. So I was seeing if that was the case there. I'm going to try to see if I could confirm it, that Roman Gonzalez was going to be on the undercard of that fight between Gennady Golovkin and David Lemieux. So we had, yeah, Roman Gonzalez is supposed to be on there. And heavyweight contender Luis Ortiz, who's undefeated, is also supposed to be part of that card, too. So they're trying to see if they could, you know, put together something pretty good there on October 17th, you know, for that pay-per-view fight. You know, so... yeah, that's the thing on that. I'm trying to see if there's, like, anything else that was pretty notable. Of course, a few people have heard about the thing there with, who is it, Shane Mosley, eventually having a pay-per-view card against against Mayorga. That's supposed to be on August 29th. To me, I haven't brought myself to believe that that actual thing there is going to be an actual pay-per-view, but it seems like that's what it is, and it's actually going to happen. He said that, you know, Mosley has said that he wants to, you know, see if he could do rematches against, you know, the likes of Cotto and Pacquiao and Mayweather. But, I mean, his last fight, he really didn't do much at all against a guy that, you know, was basically low on the food chain in reference to the division that he was in. So I don't see how he could basically challenge anybody right now, especially at his age and his conditioning at this point.
Yeah, you're right, because, I mean, I've heard him talk about Mayweather and Pacquiao, he matches all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, he still thinks he's one of the best out there. I mean, 1 minute you hear him, he's talking about training guys. Next minute, he's worthy of fighting the Mayweathers and the Pacquiao's. I think Shane is having a midlife crisis. I don't know what he's got going on, but I really don't. Who would buy a pay-per-view fight with Shane Mosley? I mean, who would even buy a ticket? If the tickets aren't $10 or $15, who would even pay to see that? I mean, I wouldn't. It would just about have to be free for me to go to that fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, I don't understand why they would even, you know, come up with something like that and actually make that, you know, something possible, you know. And that's just funny to me as far as I'm concerned, you know, that they could actually put that together. You know what I mean? So, hold on. I still got Eddie on here. You see, I got like a lot of static going on there, man. I don't know if you're, you know, just, yeah, he might be just listening right now, you know, where he's at. But I was trying to see if I could, you know, get additional information on it there. And what was so bad about this whole thing here with it being on pay-per-view is it's going up against a fight, you know, Abner Barrez versus Leo Santa Cruz. You know, so I'm like, why have something like that go on when you have Santa Cruz, you know, Santa Cruz Mares going on during that same day? That's foolish, and it's going to be on free TV. So I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know why they're doing it. And I don't even see, like, it doesn't even show anything else that's going on in, you know, in that area. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be at the Forum in Inglewood. So, I don't know what it is. It's more of like an exhibition fight there, going on, between Shane Mosley and Ricardo Mayorga there. Seems like one of our callers has dropped here. Once again, the number to dial in to Talk Live is 347-237-5539. That's 347-237-5539. You press the 1 key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Just looking at more news here, looking here at boxing scene, looks like the IBF World Heavyweight Champion, Kell Brook, may be seeing if he could get in a fight up against the contender, Diego Chavez, October 24th in Sheffield. Because it seemed like, you know, Kell Brook was trying to put a fight together between him and Brandon Rios, but that fight against Brandon Rios kind of fell apart because it seemed like the rematch clause was a deterrent for both fighters to agree to. So with that whole rematch clause in the way, they couldn't get that fight put together. So now Kell Brook didn't have anybody here for the second half of 2015. So now they're trying to see if they could put something together between him and Diego Chavez. Chavez was a guy that, you know, fought Timothy Bradley in December to a draw. So he was able to get a draw against Timothy Bradley, but hasn't been in the ring since. All right, we have somebody else here, 813-758. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's up, Jay? This is Terrell from Tampa. You know what it is.
Hey, what's going on, my man?
All right.
Yeah, so we basically covered through a whole lot of things here in the show today. We had, you know, reviewed the thing with Garcia Malignaggi and, you know, Daniel Jacobs against Sergio Mora. And then we went over a couple of, you know, news and tidbits there in reference to, you know, the fights that's coming up on September 12th, the Golovkin-Lemieux fight. They'll have tickets on sale on, you know, August 12th. And other news there. Plus, they're supposed to have this event called the Box Fan Expo on September 12th. Before the Floyd Mayweather fight, it's going to be at the Las Vegas Convention Center. They're going to have, like, a bunch of fighters there appearing there and, you know, a bunch of promoters, bunch of celebrities. So that'll be a good little event there leading up to that fight going on.
Yeah, just to get a couple comments in real quick, I caught the tail end of the Malignaggi Garcia fight. Garcia did what he's supposed to do. But one thing that's kind of interesting, though, is a good point is how can you forecast Garcia going forward as a full welterweight? And where would you put him now in a virtual top 10 And the reason why I say that, I read an article today on boxing.com where they interviewed Malignaggi, and they basically spoke about, like, well, how would you rate him as a welterweight, and particularly how would you rate his power? And keep in mind that even though everybody knows that Paulie can't hit for nothing, he does take a good punch. He has a good beard. Because, I mean, remember when Cotto broke his face up, he hung in with him. I mean, Malignaggi has fought all the pretty much a lot of the top guys at 147 and taking their power. He said that Garcia had decent power, not impressive power, but good power, you know. So it's kind of like, I heard that, and I want to, how would you forecast Garcia going forward as in a virtual top 10, and what's the way to, after that? What do you think?
Coming from a few months ago, before Garcia was put up into 147, I did have the thing where I put up a fantasy tournament at welterweight. I had eight guys there. One side I had Timothy Bradley, I had Brandon Rios, I had Kell Brook, and I had Jesse Vargas there. On the other side I had Errol Spence, had Keith Thurman, Amir Khan, and Sean Porter. So if you put in Danny Garcia against those eight and, you know, kind of like add one more person in the mix, I mean, I don't know, like an Andre Berto, or let's say, for example, since Danny Garcia's previous fight before fighting Paulo Malignaggi was not at 140, it was like at 143, so you have Lamont Peterson that might be floating around there that might go up to welterweight. So you could have Lamont Peterson there as far as, like, those 10 guys. The thing with Garcia is that he's not – he doesn't do anything that really impresses people. For some, he might do things very well, but not overly great. So that's the thing that makes a lot of people be kind of skeptical about Danny Garcia is that you can't necessarily find one thing that Garcia does that's great. It may be very good, but it's not great. And with that being known, that's why he's had those fights where he struggled against Mauricio Herrera and where he had his little battle with, Lamont Peterson. And when, you know, Zab Judah was able to come back against him in the later rounds and, you know, going up against Lucas Matisse, where if Matisse didn't have his, like, eye injury, who knows what would have happened in that fight. So him amongst the 10 fighters there within the welterweight division, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, how he would fare. I know one thing. The guys that I would put above him right now, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Kell Brook, and right now Amir Khan. I would at least put those four above him right now at welterweight.
Yeah, I think
I put Tim Bradley over him too, but, you know, with Tim Bradley being, you know, top ranked, you know, that fight is not necessarily possible, so I didn't really kind of like put that in there for him.
I think also you could probably, knowing what we know now, I would take Vargas out of that slot. I would insert Danny Garcia in there based upon his previous resume. I would have to do that. No big knock against Vargas, but show me what he showed against Bradley. He doesn't belong in that top 10. And like I said, Garcia would definitely take his place in that virtual top 10. But really though, welterweight, aside from Floyd, it's logical to group all these guys right together because there's no one that really stands out above another one to me. I mean, only one I would put at probably two or three would be Bradley, and that's solely because of his experience. But like, we've dissected Thurman the last few weeks. Like I said, Garcia's a newcomer to 147. Errol Spence, I love him, but untested. So really, to me, you can group all these guys right together, and that includes Khan, simply because of his chin, you know.
Right. That does include Khan. And the thing about Amir Khan is what I'm unsure of right now
is that, I mean, Khan was, you know, under the thing for Premier Boxing Champions, but it seems like they're hinting that he wants to fight Manny Pacquiao now, and that that's more possible than, you know, Khan fighting anybody that's under, you know, the Premier Boxing Champions banner right now, and that includes Floyd Mayweather Jr. So, I mean, if you have guys like the likes of Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Errol Spence, you even have, I know he's like outside the top 10 right now, Robert Guerrero, you have, if he would still be in 147, but I doubt that he will, Adrian Broner, and other guys like that, that's in welterweight, that you could basically have a big tournament, you know, right now, because we haven't had nothing of the likes of that yet, you know, since they had the Super Six at one end, and then you had the basically a tournament at 140 where you had Danny Garcia face Zab Judah, and you had Lucas Matisse fight Lamont Peterson, and the winner of those two fights was able to fight each other back in 2013. We haven't had anything like that since, you know, so, you know, there was that. I'm not sure if you were able to catch, they had another Premier Boxing Champions telecast on Bounce TV that I was able to catch online last night. Were you able to see that with Juan Carlos Payano and Rashay Warren?
No, I didn't. How did that fight go?
Well, it was a very, very tough fight to score. It was a rough fight. Especially in the first six rounds, it was a rough fight. They had a lot of fouls. Payano got a point taken away for hitting behind the head of Rashay Warren. Warren actually hit him with hit Payano with a low blow. It didn't get caught by the ref, but, you know, Payano was able to, you know, have a little bit of rest there for a bit. And then later on in, like, round seven or eight, Warren was, like, pushing around a lot. And at one point he pushed Payano. Payano, like, went to the corner and, like, hit the corner post. And he was going down, and when he went down, Warren hit him. And so the referee took 2 points away from Rashay Warren for pushing and then hitting Payano when he was down. So that 2-point deduction, you know, really, really was a deterrent there for Warren. And it went to the scorecards, and the scorecards there were, like, really, really off. You had like a 115, 109 type of card or something like that. And, it was a crazy scorecard there that they had. I'm going to have to like look it up here right quick because I thought I saw it. You know, I thought I saw it here somewhere. Hold on, let me check it out here right quick. Like, one score was 113, 111. Well, actually, two of them were 113, 111. And one judge had it 115, 109 for Rashay Warren.
So who got the decision?
Payano got the decision over Rashay Warren. But he got... But Payano had the two 113, 111 scores, and Warren had the 115, 109 score.
Yes, that's a wide margin. Wow.
Yeah, that's a wide margin. So I'm trying to figure it out because it would have to be So if Warren had 2 points taken away, he would have to have at least 117. And I thought, and you would think it would be like a 117-111 type of scorecard for Rashay Warren if that was the case. Overall, I thought that Juan Carlos Payano was the aggressor in the fight, and Warren, to me, Warren didn't do, you know, enough to basically win the fight. Warren was the challenger, as Payano was the guy that was basically the champion coming into that fight. And with that being known, it was that Warren would have to do what he had to do in order to, you know, take the championship away from Payano. And on top of that, Payano was cut over the right. It was like the right side of his eye was cut, and then the top of his forehead was cut due to a headbutt. And there was one point where they had to pause the fight because of the amount of blood that was coming from Payano. He had to go to his corner, and they had to patch him up. And it was under consideration that they were going to stop the fight then. They didn't stop the fight, and so the fight went to 12. And with it going to 12 rounds, Payano was able to get the victory. Because if they stopped the fight then, it probably would have been a TKO victory for Rashay Warren.
Wow.
You know, so... And if Warren is one of those guys is kind of notable because Warren is from Cincinnati, Ohio, and he's a close friend and confidant of Adrian Broner, so he basically has the same type of fighting style as Adrian Broner, and in this fight against Payano, that type of fighting style doesn't work because Payano was a very aggressive fighter, number one. And number two, you know, the way that Broner fights and the way that Rashay Warren fought in this case was, it basically, you know, went to a shell, threw counters, but they would only throw like one counter. He would only throw one counter, and that's pretty much it. And just look for that one counter. Not be aggressive, not throw combinations, nothing like that, unless if it was like in response to what Juan Carlos Payano did. And in the eyes of the judges, that just doesn't cut it.
And wasn't Rashay Warren undefeated?
Yes, both of them were. Yeah, Rashay Warren was undefeated also, yeah.
Wow. But he's still got a chance in the sport. He's still got a chance, and that's his first loss.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the first loss there that he had because he had won no contest, but that was through an accidental headbutt, and he was still able to, you know, fight the same opponent beforehand, and he won that fight by a TKO victory. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, it's something that he, you know, that necessarily puts him out of the race as far as bantamweight is concerned, so... he'll still be out and about there in that division. So he'll be able to recover from that and, get that done to basically get back on the scene in reference to him in that division.
Well, jumping back to welterweight, Khan needs to fight this year. And first of all, he's not going to fight Pacquiao because we don't know where Pacquiao is at on his recovery from that surgery. So I don't see Pacquiao fighting again this year, just from that injury point.
Right.
So who's
right.
who's Khan going to fight? He has to fight somebody because if he don't fight, his stock goes down. So he has to fight somebody.
With him fighting Chris Algieri and that not being all too impressive, he needs to be able to, you know, do something where if he wins, it'll be very, you know, pretty impressive. His fight was, you know, he had that one fight against Chris Algieri. The fight before that, he fought, you know, Devin Alexander. right now, he has, my thing is he has to fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman don't want to fight Errol Spence? Fine. He don't want to fight Sean Porter like I've been asking for almost over a year now? Fine. Fight Amir Khan. Because Amir Khan don't want to fight Kell Brook. Keith Thurman don't want to fight Errol Spence. Thurman don't want to fight Sean Porter. All right. Y'all fight each other since y'all want to keep talking about trying to fight Floyd Mayweather. Why don't y'all just shut each other up, fight each other by the end of this year? That way you could basically prove yourselves as one of the top contenders in the welterweight division.
That's right.
Because both of them have something to prove. And the thing is, with Amir Khan, Amir Khan has more notable wins at welterweight than Keith Thurman does. So, to me, Keith Thurman needs this fight more than Amir Khan does. Because it'll be something for him to actually prove himself against a top contender in the welterweight division. You know, so that would be, to me, that would be the best matchup for Amir Khan right now is against Keith Thurman.
Yeah, that can definitely be a December fight. Because none of those guys, Thurman fought what, last month? Khan, a couple months before, I think June, I think it was. So it's logical for them to fight this year. But you know, somebody's running scared, and neither of these guys are going to get Mayweather. That's not going to happen for either one. Just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article the other day. Khan said he would basically fight for peanuts just to fight Mayweather because he knows his style can cause him, give him trouble and stuff like that. But if Mayweather's going to fight Khan, we would know that by now. We would know that
right
by now.
Hey,
like I said, they didn't get on the horse and fight.
Yeah, it would have already like hit news, you know, news publications in Britain if that was the case. We wouldn't have to be waiting until Thursday when it's supposedly when we're supposedly having the formal announcement of who Floyd Mayweather is going to fight. You know, somebody the likes of Amir Khan that has international appeal would not. You know, be something where people don't know about it in a large scale. I mean, right now, I mean, we've had, you know, the hints of Floyd Mayweather going to fight Andre Berto, but, you know, that's pretty much the thing there is what we have so far as who Floyd Mayweather is going to fight. Real quick, we have under 2 minutes left here on the live podcast. Here on Blog Talk Radio under the MRN Broadcasting Channel. You call in 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on queue to talk live before we go into overtime. So going back on the whole thing there with, you know, Amir Khan, that's the thing is that He has to do a show me type of fight, and so that's pretty much the case right there. We got one person to get in here real quick before overtime. It's 818-450. What's going on? You're on live. We're going to put you on mute right now, but you'll still be on here right quick. It seemed like a thrill drop. If you can, I'll see if you could call back before we get into overtime here, so that we'll be able to talk about what's going on here in the sport of boxing. Let me see if I can get 818 back on. 818, you're on live. What's going on? Yeah, 818-450. By herself, seems like a Seems like you're on speakerphone right here, 818. So I'm going to try here once again. Looks like we're about to be going into the overtime portion of the show right now. This full segment of the show will also be on Blog Talk Radio and also later on Boxing.fm. We're going to have the podcast also be posted on Boxing.fm, so you could also visit that website to get the podcast of the Boxing Source Radio Show, right? So we're going to be going up into the overtime portion of the show where, you know, we basically will be talking about anything out there reference to the sport of boxing. We did review a lot in reference to boxing news. Like, for example, the IBF ordering a eliminator between Artur Beterbiev and Bernard Hopkins, as they are the number two and number three contenders for the IBF light heavyweight championship. And we also talked about news with Super Zab Judah coming back in the 140-pound division. So those were amongst the things that we had there. Let me see. A18, you back on?
Get me to the spot.
Hey, 818. You on live? Let me see. Going once, going twice with the 818. All right. Let me see here. We have it here still on overtime here. So
he had came back.
Hold on a minute. Yeah, 818. I had to put you on mute there again. It looks like you were on the speakerphone there. I had another thing going on with you, so we'll see. We're gonna see what else we have going on right here. Just reviewing a few things that we had talked about in the live portion of the show. One thing was a reference to the fight that's going to be on HBO pay-per-view on October between Gennady Golovkin and David Lemieux. Tickets will go on sale on August 12th there through Ticketmaster or probably at the Madison Square Garden box office. So come August 12th, you'll be able to see if you could get tickets to that fight there on August 12th. The other thing was, like I said before, Zab Judah is going to be coming back in the 140-pound division in September. He is going to be working with Greg Cohen of Greg Cohen Promotions, you know, alongside his Zab Judah or Super Judah Promotions to be coming back at 140. So you'll be seeing Zab Judah fighting here at 140 in the month of September also. The other thing is that we have, you know, an upcoming fight August 14th, Saturday, that's going to be on Premier Boxing Champions. It's going to have the heavyweights Steve USS Cunningham going up against Antonio Magic Man Tarver at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. The undercard will pretty much have Marco Huck defending his cruiserweight championship against Krzysztof Walacki, who is an undefeated prospect, 24-0 with 15 KOs. So that one will be at 9 o'clock Eastern time there at Newark, New Jersey. So those are the things there that we were pretty much reviewing here. We're going to try once again here with 818-450. You're live. All right. Seems like we're not able to connect here with 818-450. We should, have you there in the background while we basically go through a few more things here that we're going to review. There was one fight overseas on August 1st that I kind of like caught online there. It was like a lightweight title eliminator. It had the British gold medalist from 2012, Luke Campbell, there. He was able to fight. He was able to fight there in a hole there overseas against Coyle. And then it ended up being a pretty good fight that they had there that Eddie Hearn put together between two guys that were basically from the same area or the same city, just, you know, different sections of it. And Luke Campbell was able to be able to box his way through to win that fight against Tommy Coyle. Tommy Coyle was basically a brawler, tried to, you know, duck his head and try to take a few punches here and there to try to get to Luke Campbell. But Luke Campbell was, you know, poised and focused throughout the whole fight. And he scored an early knockdown with a good body shot in round two and was still able to, you know, still box his way through the rounds and eventually stopped Tommy Coyle in the 10th round after scoring another body shot knockdown later on in the fight. He's probably going to be number one contender for one of the lightweight championships that they have out there, but they say that he's not necessarily rushing to challenge for any of the lightweight championships there. You have, you know, contenders out there like, well, you have the lightweight champions like Jorge Linares and Terry Flanagan, but there also is, it seems like the IBF lightweight championship is up for grabs. It seems like it's vacant, so you may see a fight between the vacant lightweight championship and IBF, as you do have a few contenders out there for that division that might be able to vie for the championship. Let's see here, see what's going on here one more time. I'm going to try to see with 818, see if 818 is on. If 818 could get on, let me see, 818, tell us your name, where you're calling from. Let's see, one more time there. 818-450. Oh, you're on live. You're on live. Okay. Seems like UNA had issues trying to connect there, but it's fine. Like I said, we've basically gone through a lot of news and notes over the past week for the sport of boxing. So, you know, with that being said, what I'm going to do here is close off the show. You can catch us on a regular day and time next week, Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio on the MRN Broadcasting Channel. We have our sister shows tomorrow night. We have the Cold Hard Truth on Sports with the execution of Matthew Long Tuesday night, 8:30, and Wednesdays at 8:30. We have the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show, hosted by Kelly Mike, Carcel Mathis, Chi-Town, and, you know, special guest, the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. We're getting close to the beginning of football season, so those things are going to be picking up real good. We still have, you know, the news about the New England Patriots as far as football is concerned, so probably be pretty sure that they're going to be talking about that on the CNC Fire Showing Football Talk Show. Like I said, you could basically follow the Boxing Source on Facebook. Just type in The Boxing Source on Facebook and like the page there to get articles that I write on the chtonsports.com. You'll be able to see the articles that I write there at the Boxing Source Facebook page. You can also follow the Boxing Source on Twitter at Boxing Source 2. Once again, at Boxing Source 2. Have an Instagram, The Boxing Source, and also Google Plus, The Boxing Source. So when it comes to social media, you can follow us in pretty much every one of those things there. So on that note, we're going to close off. And like I always say in boxing, purpose is to hit and not get hit, not to stand and trade. I'm gone. Have a good evening.